Today is the end of the liturgical year. It's the last Sunday in ordinary time. And it's also Christ the King, King of the universe. Next Sunday we start Advent. We'll celebrate the first week of Advent. And that'll turn over to year A at that point. Now we have three liturgical years in the calendar, A, B, and C. A is normally the Gospel of Matthew. B is normally the Gospel of Mark. And C, the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of John is sort of sprinkled in all of the years for special masses. So we get a taste of John throughout all three cycles. Now, I was researching Christ the King because I had to preach tonight. And up until recently, it was just Christ the King, but now our books say Christ the King of the universe. So I wanted to give you some trivia about that. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to throw out some information for you. Christ the King, the solemnity of Christ the King was established in 1925 in the church. And then Pope St. Paul VI expanded the name to Christ the King of the universe. But interesting enough, most of our literature still just says Christ the King. This book here is the Book of Gospels. The only thing that's in here are the Gospels. And it lists 34 Sunday or last Sunday in ordinary time, the solemnity of our Lord Christ the King. But in our missal, which we have at the altar, it says Christ the King of the universe, which that was republished in about 2011. It was updated to a new translation, so it picked up Christ the King of the universe. And when I was reading that, it said the name change to Christ the King of the universe was to communicate that Jesus, on a metaphysical scale, that God encompasses all reality, not just man's reality. Now that's kind of a heady thought. If you want to wrap your mind around it, I don't. But if you want to, go for it. But I believe in the time of Jesus, the Jews thought about the Messiah as a king that would redeem Israel. And the kings at that time ruled over the people. And it was whoever had the most power. If you remember in Exodus, Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt, where they were being controlled and slaves under Pharaoh. And then at the time of Jesus, the Romans were in charge. So they were being persecuted by the Romans. So I think the Jews thought that the Messiah, the anointed one, would have all this kingly power to take control, to put down the oppressors, and they would then become rulers of their own destiny. But that's not Jesus. That's not who he is. You know, even today, the government systems, whether kingdoms or not, that oppress many, many people, and there's little or no justice available to them. So what is Jesus' kingdom? Well, thinking about that, I think it would be a kingdom where we have free will, that we're invited to experience God's love. It's not an army that destroys our opponents of justice or has power or deceit or uses violence. It's a kingdom of God, a kingdom of love, a choice we have to make. Christ brings the truth about God to us. It's up to us to accept that and let that change our hearts and who we are and how we respond. Now in our reading today from Matthew, Jesus is hanging on the cross and they're jeering at him. Even the thieves that are hanging up there with him, one is jeering at Jesus, "Save me. Save yourself and save me." It's all about him. And the other one realizes that Jesus is not that person. Jesus is love. So he talks to the other prisoner hanging there dying with him and says, "Don't you fear God?" He realized who Jesus was. And what did he do? He asked Jesus, "When you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But we know that Jesus was died, went to hell, and was resurrected on the third day. So did he go to heaven? I really think what happens at that moment in time, he realized who Jesus was. He accepted Jesus, and he accepted the love that God had for us, and that transforms who we are. And I think that's the paradise he was going to be with. Now, I told you about the three cycles of our liturgical years. So each year we have a different gospel to read. Last year was from the Gospel of John. And this gospel talks about when Jesus was before Pilate. And Pilate is questioning Jesus right before he is turned over to be executed. And Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you?" And that's when he says, "I'm not a Jew, am I?" And then Jesus told him, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews." He says, "But as it is, my kingdom is not here." Then Pilate said, "Then you are the King of the Jews." And Jesus answered, "You say that I am. I was born for this, and I came into the world to testify to the truth." That's Jesus' power, to testify to the truth about God, that God loves each one of us. We don't have to earn that love. It's there for us. We just have to avail ourselves of that love and let that love transform who we are. And when we start doing that, we start entering the kingdom of God. A couple of years ago, shortly after Father Dan came here, I was preaching with him like I am tonight, and it was also the solemnity of Christ the King. Now, this was year A, which is Matthew's gospel. And it's a wonderful, wonderful story in A. It's called The Judgment of Nations. And it's where Jesus is on his heavenly throne. And all these nations are being assembled before him. And he separates them one from the other. He puts the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. He goes through this, and he says, "Inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world, from the very beginning of creation." It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Then he says, "The righteous will then ask him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whenever you did this for one of my least brothers of mine, you did it for me.'" That's what God's kingdom is all about, taking care of others, living together. And then he would say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." says, "For when I was hungry, you gave me no food, thirsty, and you gave me no drink, a stranger, and you gave me no welcome, naked, and you gave me no clothing, ill and in prison, and you did not care for me." And then those will ask him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?" And he answers them, "Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least, you did not do for me." This, I think, is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's where our heart is. You know, 2 years ago when I was preaching this, I said, let's do a little role play. You don't have to do anything. You're already doing it. You're sitting in the pews. But let's divide the church in half. This side is the sheep. That side is the goats. I said, you people on this side, you're good to go. Over here, not so much. And then I realized my wife, who's sitting right there, was on the left side. This is Ellen, by the way. She's my wife. Wonderful woman. I've heard about this story ever since because she was among the goats, and she still is. But just another little tidbit of information. In the Fort Worth Diocese, to become a deacon, it takes about 5 years. It takes a year of application, 4 years of formation. She had to do all of that with me. Everything I went to, she was by my side. And then after 5 years of work, she had to tell the bishop that I could become a deacon. If she said no, I wouldn't have been ordained. She's a wonderful woman for doing that. I'm trying to get her back on my good side again. You might want to move over. Anyway, what I said, these people over here are good to go. These people, not so much. Now, if you were going to be judged today, you would have all sitting over here. And these people, it's in their heart, they would have welcomed you because that's just the people they are. But this is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is not in heaven. It's right here, right now, every day. It's how we live our lives. And when you open your heart up to have God's love in there, and you realize the person next to you is a child of the same God, that's when we all become one people. That's when we all enter God's kingdom. Now, I'm going to end with a reflection. And this is not my reflection. I was reading this morning. I get them every day. This is a Jesuit priest, Father Louis Hotop, from the Society of Jesus. And I said, this really applies. I want to share this with you. So I'm in my homily with this. Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. There is something powerful, I think, about declaring as a community that we have no king, no ruler, but God himself. At a time when the national discourse in the United States is inundated with tribal demands of our allegiance, isn't it freeing to be reminded that we are called to love and serve God alone, and in him find our true identity? The kingdom proposed by our readings and liturgical prayers today is one of peace and justice, truth and life, holiness and grace, and an eternal kingdom in which no one seeks to sow division or manipulate others for their own gain. We are not called to sit on the sidelines and wait for the kingdom to be built. We are called to do our part. No matter how small, every day, brick by beloved brick.